Healing crystals, skincare routines, knitting a sweater, fitting in jeans. With Katie and Sarah, no need to worry, you're on a lady journey.
Hello, everybody. Okay.
Welcome.
Hello. Welcome to Lady Journey. This is so exciting. Now, Sarah, you've actually driven back from Boston this morning.
I went early. We left early this morning. We wanted to see the Oscars, but then it was like a total, I didn't find it that exciting, even though people were like, this Oscars was amazing.
But yeah.
I want drama. I want a,
yes.
I want a slap.
I need a slap.
So, and then Joe's always like, it's easier to drive back Monday morning than Sunday night and then finding parking. Have you ever experienced that?
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
That sounds strikingly familiar to me from another man I know. Yes.
It's a nightmare. So, yes, we based it all on that. And then, yeah, we're back. But now I feel a little frazzled, but I think I'll just like, don't mind me.
No, never. This is part of Lady Journey, is feeling frazzled and being working, being a mom,
just
being
moving
in the world.
I'm always like saying, I just move in and then I deal with the fear while I'm moving. You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
That's good.
Yeah. Move rather than it. Like, you want to cancel.
Yes.
Yeah. And then recuperate, but then you go through a shame spiral for canceling.
And that's actually motivating.
Yes.
Because we would never get anything done.
Exactly. And I didn't want to go through a shame spiral, that I'd rather just like go through fear than a shame spiral.
Yes.
Yes.
100%.
This sounds like all like bullshit jargon. You know what I mean? Where like, I could be a life coach and just bullshit my way through life coaching by
like
using that word.
Walking through fear really does sound.
Become addicted to your discomfort.
Yeah.
Well, we have an amazing guest today. I'm so thrilled to welcome Ross Aaron Martineau.
Yes.
Ooh, beautiful.
I've known Ross for years.
Yes.
Almost like since I moved here. I was 08 and then 09, I think, is around when I met you.
Oh,
and
wow.
Then we had, our friends had a Venn diagram.
Yes.
Yes. I love that. And I'm meeting you today for the first time, but already I know we're best friends.
Yes.
That's
official.
How Lady Journey works.
Trio.
But I thought you would be a great guest. First of all, I've seen you do vlogs before.
Yes.
And I think you're so great on film and then in visual and audio.
Thank you.
And then also, you've gone on several Lady Journeys.
And so many.
You've been a stylist.
Yep.
Which I find so I love fashion.
Mm-hmm.
And then now you're yoga and now you're a doula. And you've actually helped me out immensely. I've because some people can't afford a nanny.
Yeah.
But to get a doula service every now and then helps. And then I was wondering if you would like to explain what all entails in the doula service. Because it's not only prenatal, it's also postpartum.
Correct.
Yes.
Yes. Let's get into the doula. Tell us everything, what it is. I mean, people know, I think, vaguely that it's like offering birth support, but it's so much more than that.
Yeah. So doula, you really can have a doula for anything, quite honestly.
I love it. I love it.
And we actually all probably should, to be quite honest.
Yes.
Because it's just kind of filling in the holes of where all the systems are failing us.
Right.
So, and, you know, people in like metropolitan areas, blue areas are very familiar with these things, but I think it's even not as common as you might think. Mm-hmm. And people ask me a lot, they're like, wait, what is that again? You know?
Yeah.
And I'm always like, oh, right. Okay. You don't know that, you know?
Yeah. Yes. I feel like where I'm from in Kingwood, Texas, they would think it's witchy.
Oh, and it is.
Which is fine. But we love witchy.
We love it.
Yeah. We love witchy.
Yeah. Little birth spells.
Just
you need that.
Exactly.
Lady fun.
Yeah. Well, and not to get too deep into the history, but it's like doulas, midwives, those were the original witches that were most likely burned at the stake or beheaded because they were helping women have reproductive freedom.
Yeah.
Yes.
So advocating that was for themselves.
The origin of the witch trials, right?
Yes.
Because there was a low birth rate.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is in Europe in like the 1600s. And so then they started going after the midwives doing witchcraft, a.k.a., you know, you're
birthing
drinking
children.
Yeah.
Yes. Helping you birth children or have an abortion, which like abortion doulas are also a thing. Like child loss doulas are a thing. Like there's lots of different ways you can go. Most people offer a variety of these services and don't just focus on one. So I had a birth doula, and I'm also like a stark raving mad feminist, as I like to describe myself to people.
I love that. Yes. We have a bra burner.
Oh, yes. They've been burned. And so I knew I wanted a doula. I had friends that had doulas. And I, of course, chose like a very witchy queer doula that I had lots in common with. And we became fast friends, and I was a psych major, gender studies double major in college. And I was always interested in this sort of stuff. And then I like, you know, trailed along to fashion. And then I was like, oh, I'm so sick of this. Like, let me go back to the things that I care about. And I kind of discovered I could be like a sort of therapist, social worker in this other realm.
Yeah, yes. It's quite the 180 from fashion, I would think.
Yes.
Because like fashion just seems like, I love fashion, but when you hear about it, it's very... It's superficial.
Consumerism,
capitalism. Yes.
And I mean, that's, you know, we can talk about that more. But I just kind of fell in love with the idea of doula work. I eventually would like to be a birth doula as well. Like, mm-hmm. I definitely want to do the training for that. But for now, I've found my way into postpartum doula work because it's a little easier to start getting work doing it. I did a training, but obviously I have my own daughter, so I've got in the field experience. And that I did not have a postpartum doula, and I gave birth to my daughter during the pandemic, so it was something I was really missing. Like, I really would have liked some support, which I realize now in retrospect how much I missed it. Without the historical trauma of your own parents trying to help you, which like, God bless them. Like, my parents really, they did their best, but like, it's just so triggering.
Because they had babies even 20 years ago is such a huge difference.
Yes.
That... The stuff that they'll be saying is like,
just
I don't
keep smoking.
Yeah, truly.
Well, no, they'll just be like, oh, you can't give him a cold bottle. It'll hurt his stomach. And then you're like, but weren't you smoking around them back then? Yeah. Yes. Like, you're like, so that kind of information and noise. I also feel like there can be kind of a stigmatism of getting help, but usually we were kind of raised in villages, you know what I mean? Like, and now when I feel like most people, and I think there's a recent New York Times article about like how most people are just a family by themselves.
Yeah.
That I do feel like you need outside help and besides your husband or your partner or whoever it is, because sometimes they can't help you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it also goes back to that weird codependent relationship dynamic of just putting everything on your husband or your partner and expecting them to be everything for you. Or it's like, really, in order to be psychologically healthy, you need to have a network of close people that you can go to and not just expect that one person to be everything, the be all end all of your love.
Yes. And I mean, you know, as the birth giver, the person who has not given birth can only relate so much to like what you have emotionally and physically been through. And even if postpartum doulas or birth doulas haven't given birth themselves, they've been around it so much in theory that like they've seen all the different ways it can kind of shake out. Yeah, it's been like, I really love helping people learn how to be parents and take care of themselves and their baby. And like affirmation is kind of like my most important thing. Like, a lot of people bring different skill sets. Like, people are really into cooking for postpartum. That's like a big part of the right nutrition for your postpartum body. I am not a cook. I actually, food is like kind of a problem for me, not in terms of an eating disorder, but I get so overwhelmed by like cooking and decision making. So that is not my strong suit. I got a few recipes I'll bring to you.
Yeah.
Help your womb heal, you know, but like, that's not my like number one thing. But I think showing up for people, affirming that it's like so overwhelming, so overstimulating, like, yes, what you're feeling is completely insane. Because I think there's just so much questioning yourself after you give birth. And
that's all I do is Google.
And yes.
Sometimes I'm like, I don't even know the right sentence to put into Google right now.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, even when I like came to help you out that day, you were like, he seems like this is a normal 4-month-old. Totally. Like, he's just fussy and nothing is predictable. Yeah, well, exactly.
You helped me because I was like, I think he's in the 4-month regression. And then you're like, I don't really know if I believe in all that. And I was like, oh, thank God. Because like, I don't see progression. So how can there be regression happening?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. I know. It's like,
you're like, he's a baby. It feels like he's on par, but I don't see, I've never had a pattern down for him.
No.
Yeah.
Because there is none.
No.
Like, it's just hard.
It's chaos.
It's just chaos. Yeah.
It is. Truly. It's off of vibes.
Yeah.
And even that, you're like, read the vibe wrong. Sorry, my bad.
Read the vibe wrong. Oh, we're doing a totally different vibe than we were like about I don't know, an hour ago, maybe 5 to 10 minutes ago.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Who knows?
I thought we were onto something, and then he's like, "No, I've changed my mind."
Yes. Yeah,
it's brutal.
And I mean, I found the beginning really hard, and I had friends, like, you know, I was having all these conversations via text and phone calls because it was during the pandemic, and I would just be like, "This is horrible. Like, what is going on?" And I did have a friend be like, "You don't have to like this part. Like, you can love the shit out of her, but you do not have to like this part." And I was like, thank you. Like, 100-yard stare, like, off my parents, like, my childhood front porch. Just like, what's happening to me? You know, like, it was a lot. It's like,
brutal. And then I think it's so traumatic that most people kind of don't remember it.
Oh, absolutely.
I even have that right now where you're like, I don't even think I got to enjoy it. And then when people are like, I think everyone has postpartum depression.
Or anxiety.
How could you not?
Yeah. I mean, I think and postpartum anxiety. Rage. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
The raging.
Yeah.
Your rage against your partner.
Raging. Yeah.
Well, because here's one incident. You'll be like, I'm tired. And then your partner's like, oh, I'm so tired too. And you're like, it's not about you. Yeah. Right now.
Take it up with somebody else, not me. Take it up with somebody else, bro. Yeah.
Like, why do you have to say you're tired too after every time I say I'm tired?
I'm actually not looking for identification in this moment.
Yeah. I just need that sucks. Here, let me hold him for a moment so you can recollect yourself. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. God bless them. Even the good ones.
Even the good ones. Yeah. But you get rage because you can be up all night and then, we shared our duties where I do night and then from like midnight to 7 and then I sleep for a good few hours in the morning. But in the early days, it's so lonely and you resent them sleeping peacefully in a bed.
Because even if you were able to sleep, you can't.
Yeah.
You're like, surely this child has stopped breathing. Somebody look at it.
Right. Like, he might be like swallowing his spit up right now and dying like a, you know, the drummer from Led Zeppelin right now. That's the feeling for probably the first 3 months.
As a new parent. Yes. Yeah.
And then the co-sleeping.
Yep.
And then you find out you're not supposed to do it, but then you find out everybody does it.
Yes. Yes.
And I went back to co-sleeping again and I love it.
Oh, good.
What's your advice on co-sleeping as a doula? Because I find this controversy everywhere. It's throughout TikTok. It's in the TikTok universe.
Yeah. Strong opinions everywhere.
Yeah.
I am of the firm belief, do whatever is right for you and your family. There are a lot of safe ways to do all the things that people tell you you're going to kill your child by doing.
Right.
Okay.
People have been doing it for literally millennia. And I did not co-sleep with my daughter. And now I am. We sleep train the hell out of that kid. And which is also like, doulas are like, you know, like they've got a lot of, they're doing the other side of the spectrum. So it's like, I feel a lot of shame that like I did sleep train and wish that I hadn't, but also she did sleep really well for a while.
So doulas are on the fence about sleep training?
Oh, they hate it.
Oh,
for the most part.
I didn't know that.
For the most part.
Oh, wow.
I would say anyways, most of the doulas I hang out with anyway.
Okay.
Like, which are witchy Brooklyn women that mostly look like me with like wild brown curly hair.
Yes, we love it. We love it.
A coven.
Yes,
I love a coven.
It's very coven energy. But, you know, it's like, it's such a learning curve. And it's the same with like breastfeeding or body feeding, as like, you know, us more progressives like to say, and bottle feeding, formula feeding. It's like, whatever the fuck works.
Yeah.
Like, give yourself a goddamn break, and like pitting people against each other in different camps.
Yeah.
Yes. And going to the internet for information when it's just,
it's only serving to hurt the people that are like the most vulnerable in the thick of it. So it's like, do what you gotta do. Yeah. You know?
I love this. This is giving me an idea why a doula is so important and essential, because you need somebody there with you to be like, it's almost like a therapist in a way for the postpartum process, where you're like, we're working together, we're finding what works together.
Yeah.
That's great.
And this is less schooling, I don't have to pay as much, and I become a like pseudo therapist without a license.
Hey, I don't think my therapist has a license.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's a life coach, you know?
Yes, exactly.
You don't need a license to be a therapist. You just need a website.
Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. I love it. Yeah. I love it. Now, tell us about your yoga journey, your work with yoga. Yes. You do the vinyasa.
Too many jobs.
No, I love it. This is very...
I think it's New York, though, because, you know, you read David Sedaris, and that's all he did to... It was 20 jobs to, you know, help do what he needs to do.
Yeah. I'm the same way.
Birth control?
Is that my...
Talk about a lady journey. Oh my God. Tina telling you to do something.
My Tina Turner activated. So sorry about that.
I mean, if we're going to be interrupted, let it be Tina.
That would be hysterical if that was my birth control. My birth control is now Tina Turner. I'm actually off birth control now.
Wow.
I decided to go off.
Congrats.
I feel so much better. I was having really massive fatigue from it. So
it's a fucking nightmare, honestly. Yeah. Birth control.
Yeah. I wanted to do the IUD, but I've had, like, you know, medical trauma.
Sure.
As everyone has, it's scary. And I just couldn't even get myself to consider it. So now I'm just out there.
Well, here's the question.
Just out there in the world.
Do you trust your fiance and his methods?
I do.
Okay, good.
I do. And I will say, because this is Lady Journey, I have looked into some other alternate methods, like the rhythm method.
Yeah.
I'm also doing some, like, a little bit of spermicide every now and then.
Okay. All right.
It's fine. Like, if I use it like one or two times a month, I don't have like an irritation.
Yes. Right. And just know when you're ovulating.
Yeah, I do. I track on the app. It's called Flow, and it always tries to upsell me. It's hilarious. Every time I log in, it's like, do you want to have stronger orgasms? I'm like, am I being harassed right now?
Yeah. What a capitalist hellscape.
Yeah.
Huh?
Oh, yeah.
But it is free, so I will put up
exactly.
with that. So that's where I'm at. But I'm, you know, I'm 37, and especially because I'm, you know, I've been on the baby journey with Sarah.
Yeah.
Now my fear is gone.
Yeah.
So I say it's almost nice in a way to be like, well, accidents happen. And that way I'm totally taken out of a conscious choice.
Right. It's kind of actually fun to just be like, let the universe talk, which is such a white lady.
You're Tony Robbins now. You're walking through fear. Yeah. You're like walking on coals over here. Like
you're
before.
On another level.
Right?
This is great.
If it was meant to be, it's meant to be.
Yeah, my birth control
you're
is
not
crystals.
16 anymore. Yeah.
Yes. Well, also as women, I think when like the clock starts counting down, it's like
Everyone's reminding you.
Yes. Right. Every day.
Geriatric
every day.
Pregnancy. Get into it.
Although I will say, my grandmother gave birth to my aunt in 1970, well, I'll say the mid-70s. I won't reveal her birth year in case I don't want her identity to be stolen. Yeah. But
oh gosh,
my grandmother was 40,
which was a big deal back in the day.
My
totally.
Aunt's fine. She's thriving. She's an amazing woman.
I mean, I, you know, for rhythm method and letting the chips fall where they may, mm-hmm. I had not been on birth control the entire time Patrick and I have been together, which when I got pregnant was, gosh, I guess... Yeah, 10 years, 9 or 10 years.
Okay,
and yeah, like I just tracked when I was ovulating, and he came in me those 3 days, and voila, she got pregnant. So I happened to be very fertile. I had no idea because I was like, surely I must have a problem. I'm this
it's
old.
It's taking everybody forever.
So,
and I was 37, and you know, I have a number of friends that have had a struggle getting pregnant, but I, you know, the one thing I wish I could give people was my indifference.
Yes.
Because I truly feel like it helps. I was sort of like, if it happens, whatever.
We'll figure it out.
Can I tell you, I've heard that exact story from 3 other people that they were like, I just tried to get pregnant and then I did.
And
my fertile days.
And I kind of, like Patrick and I both were like, if it doesn't happen, for me, I just know that I didn't think I wanted to like go through various steps. And I was just like, we'll be dog people. And I think I'll be fine with that, honestly. So, of course, I got pregnant on the first try. And I was like, I thought I was going to have like 6 months of trying. I was like a little like, whoa.
Yeah, that does seem to be, that's like the modern woman's like, either you are involving doctors and a team of specialists or you're pregnant immediately.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And I mean, you know, I'm like eternally grateful that it was as easy as it was, especially knowing so many people that have had to work very hard for it, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't take that for granted, but I, you know, Yeah, indifference. If only we could give that to people freely.
It's a good place to be, I feel like. Yeah. To take it or leave it. It's the art of not giving a fuck.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
for
great.
For your body.
Which I wish I could apply it to other parts of my life.
Right? I can't. No. I can't get past that. I'm no. the same way. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, with body stuff, you're like, we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
STDs.
Yeah. Yes. Exactly. I mean, I already ran the course with those, so, you know.
Exactly.
Now, I want to go back to the, so were you a doula first or were you a yoga teacher first?
Yoga teacher.
Okay, yes. So you were in the fashion world, yes. And you had kind of like a very, a strong pivot, you know, yes. You're kind of going in the different direction. Yes. Tell us about, what was that like for you? Were you kind of feeling disillusioned?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
A very.
A tipping point, a rock bottom.
Yes. Or yeah. Just oh, we like, love a rock bottom story.
Yeah. Love a rock bottom.
It wasn't quite rock bottom from fashion into yoga, but like very quickly. So like studied psychology in college, became like a real drunk lunatic, got into graduate school for social work, was still a drunk lunatic,
yes.
Failed the social work program, talked to somebody, so got sober after withdrew from the social work program, talked to a hairstylist, and they were like, and I've always been into fashion and aesthetics and everything, so like,
yeah.
But I was like, I can't, that's not a job, like, what are you talking about? And then I talked to a hairstylist, and he was like, just become a wardrobe stylist. You don't have to go back to school for that. And I was like, interesting.
Oh, I did not know. I guess it's just a good eye. And you do have a good eye.
It's just a skill set. And also I was like newly sober, deeply desperate. And yes. I had been waiting tables for going on 10 years at that point. And I was like miserable.
I've done that journey.
Now that's a lady journey. Service industry, sexual harassment, and being belittled for 10 years. Yeah. What a gift. Yeah. So I was motivated to get out of that. And I just like went, you know, full throttle into like working for free, figuring out how not to work for free, like trying to make money in this like bizarre career. That
the fashion industry is the worst industry of taking, they don't pay anybody. That's why there's a huge nepo and only yes. rich kids can do
yes.
it.
Yeah.
It's horrific.
But there's when I got into it, it was like during the e-com boom. So like okay. all of a sudden, all these studios all over New York City are like needing to shoot tons of product all the time for all okay. these websites.
Oh, great.
So that was how I was like, how the hell do people make money in this goddamn industry? And somebody yeah. was like, e-commerce, yeah, yeah. go. And so okay. I got into that world, and you know, it's not glamorous, but like it's a steady job kind of, and I could still be freelance. And I met a lot of like, it was more of the down to earth sect yeah. of styling, which I still do some of that work to like make ends meet. Pinning bras and underwear to foam core boards. It's titillating.
Yeah. Literally. Yeah.
Literally. So yeah, I was doing that, and I tried every kind of styling, you know, a little bit of TV and film, a little bit of like editorial, whatever. And really what paid the bills was this like e-commerce gig. And I was a dancer all through high school and in my young life. And I've always loved movement, and I spent a lot of time in my youth like blasting music out of my Sony boombox and choreographing dances. And yoga was something that I started getting really into as a sober person. Duh.
It is
very yeah. trite
the natural
development
progression. Yes. It yes. just happens one day.
It goes yoga teacher, doula, like, you know.
Well, you need the endorphins. You need yes. the endorphins. You're like, I yes. need something.
Exactly. So then in 2018, I had like been going to the studio regularly, and I just fell in love with it. And New Love City in Greenpoint. And the teachers there were just really cool and yeah. interesting, and played the type of music that I like to listen to. And it didn't have this like air of like, I'm a deep, serious yogi, but also like, I do take this seriously.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because sometimes it's amazing me when I go to a yoga class, the way that they no. talk,
yes.
that you're like, how do you get it? Like, how do you develop that? Because I don't. This is a side note. I remember going when I was taking a community college class. It was like some creative writing, and we had to go up and read our stuff. And this one girl, the way she read her poetry was like drifting, falling. And our teacher, and it was so nice to hear a teacher go, do you read like this naturally?
Yes.
Yeah, you're like, why do that's not a natural yeah. way of presenting something.
Yeah, it's and like drama.
Like, yeah, where you're like, that's how I feel about sometimes in yoga, where you're like, why did they choose? Why is this the talk?
Yes. Right, right.
This is the way that you talk.
Yeah, yoga.
The yoga accent.
The yoga accent.
Yeah, I think a lot of people fall into it thinking that's the way you have to be. So it was really refreshing to be in a space that it did not feel that way at all. And so then I decided to do yoga teacher training and... But I was also like,
how many hours is that?
200 is always like the first round that people do. And you can either do it like a full month or like I just did it on the weekends.
Okay. Because I remember during pandemic, I got really into yoga, but I was doing Yoga to the People on YouTube. And then
uh-oh.
I found out.
Oh,
yes. Yes,
but it's free.
I know. I mean, yeah,
on YouTube. Side, but it was really fascinating. You're like, oh, my God, I had no idea there was a dark side to the yoga world.
Oh, it is dark
now, too. Do you find that there's like an element of pyramid scheme with the yoga? Because I feel like you kind of have to, you get into it because you're like, oh, I really identify with the mind-body connection, with the meditative element, with moving my body and health. And then you're like, oh, I have to make money.
Yes.
I have a studio. How can I even keep going unless now I'm trying to suck people in?
Yes.
Yes. Really, capitalism and yoga are not a good match.
No. No. Yeah. Capitalism with a lot of things. But yes, it's particularly
it's
with
frustrating.
The neo-spiritual elements of things.
Okay.
And like I said, stark raving mad feminist, so biased. But most, like pretty much any type of yoga that we know here in the Western world was like brought over by some dude who was most likely sexually assaulting his students. So baseline.
Yes. It's a really great way to essay people.
Like, it's cult, right? It's like basic cult behavior where it's just like you're roping people in.
Self-improvement. Fitness. There's the fitness element.
All-encompassing leader who like knows all.
Yes.
And, you know, I love cults. I'm like very into cult documentaries.
Oh, yes. Us too.
Speaking to the right people.
Yes. And I mean, I'm fascinated by it because I like always think of myself like, couldn't get me. Yeah. Like, nice try.
And then you're like, but then I did UCB. Stand up sometimes.
I know.
You're like,
stand up is 100% a pyramid scheme cult. There's just no organized structure. It's just us preying on each other.
That's what makes it not a cult, though. There's not one unifying leader that's trying to get all your money from you.
Yeah.
Which, like, that's why, you know, 12-step recovery, people are like, it's a cult. And it's like, but there isn't one person in charge being like, I know better than everyone and I want your money.
Yeah. And they have donuts.
And they've got donuts and really bad coffee.
Yeah.
So it's like anything in life, right?
Yes,
can
right.
become some weird, fucked up version of itself.
True.
You know, like one extreme, there's always going to be extremists in all of these
fields. Or someone that always takes advantage of the system.
Yes.
But we talked about that with the patriarchy of spirituality.
Yes. Like the men doing their morning hacking. You know, it like
or cold plunges. They fucking love a cold plunge.
When they like, we were saying, like, I saw this woman on TikTok, but she does spirituality, like, does all the learnings of every spirituality. And she was just talking about, like, I've stopped taking advice from men, it's spiritual.
Yeah.
Because you're like, nothing breaks your spirit than changing a diaper at 3 a.m. in the morning. And men won't do that. Or a lot of men won't do that. And they won't see it as breaking ego.
Yeah, men would rather like charge a bull in like the streets
in
of Spain.
In the general scheme of
than,
things.
Like, clean a drain out.
Yeah.
Where it could have the same effect and yet be more productive to society.
Yeah.
The male guru model doesn't work for women because it's like it's all about like breaking down the ego. It's like women are already, we're not grown up growing up where people are like, you're amazing.
No.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of the Chelsea Peretti, her Netflix special. She has this joke where she's like, I wish I could just have the confidence of a 22-year-old guy just waking up like, I'm amazing.
Yeah. Truly. Yeah. I mean, I really struggle with male yoga teachers in general. Like,
interesting.
It's a little bit like guilty until proven innocent, honestly.
I get that way with male feminists sometimes. Where you're like, okay, well, let's see what.
Yeah. All right.
I'm watching you.
All right.
Yes.
I see you.
It's nice, but why are you here?
Yeah. I'm like, oh, you're queer? Okay, never mind.
Yeah. We're good. Yeah.
I had a male yoga teacher once, and it was a studio that I was going to around here pre-pandemic. And I ended up just stopping because every class, it was like we would go around the room and share. It would be 20 minutes of sharing.
Jesus
by, like,
Christ.
Paulette, like the 80-year-old in the community, is like, so then I went to the. Like, what? Move on. But yeah. We had a man there, and I remember I was so triggered by it because mm-hmm. he was just the arrogance that he was teaching with. He was like doing tricks.
Mm. Oh, they're you know, always doing tricks. Doing they love tricks. A handstand.
Yeah, it's like
any chance they get.
Let's just stick to the basics, okay? Yeah. I need to stretch out. I need to stop stressing. Yes. I don't need to learn. You know, a like high kick right
no,
now.
No, and it's like, we all know you've got more upper body strength than us. We got
right.
it.
Exactly.
We know.
Exactly. Yeah.
You can do all the arm balances and the handstands. Like, I got it.
Yeah.
Like, every, whatever. I'm going to like really go.
No, go off. Please go off.
I mean, I've just been triggered by so many, like, neo-spiritual male yogis. Like, in my yoga teacher mm-hmm. training, they had, like, a guest teacher come in. He gave us this whole spiel. This was after, it was, like, a long weekend. We were literally doing yoga, like, 6 to 8 hours a day. So we were all so tired. Mm-hmm. And this fucking guy comes in, like, I'm an expert on whatever. And they also all have, like, special Sanskrit names that, like, some other white guru gave them. I'm like, so I'm already out, right?
Yeah.
And he gave us this whole spiel about how yoga needs to be accessible and you need to know like who you're teaching to and blah, blah, blah. And everyone's like, yeah. Then he taught us handstands for another hour.
Oh my God.
After we had already been doing yoga for so many fucking hours and I was like so tired.
Yeah.
And also men like this, they didn't feel my energy. Like, this yes. is not my first rodeo with this sort of energy. And, like, he literally singled me out in front of the class. And he was like, what's wrong?
Yeah, and then they, I feel
so
like.
What
it was insane.
They use that as, like, I know why you're not reaching the next level.
Yes.
Is because you're holding
yeah.
so much negativity
yes.
towards me.
Yeah. Yes.
I don't like you.
Yeah, and I fucking, like, I left and I, like, went in the cabin and I just, like, sat in there and cried and, like, ate some chocolate. And I was like, I'm done with yeah. the rest of this. Like, I didn't go back or, like, but it's, like, there's so much of that, like, the veil of. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to help you move past this block. And I'm like, I don't fucking need
it
from
have a
you.
Block. Yeah.
There's,
yeah.
You there's have a block. Parallel. There's a parallel to this in stand-up, which
oh,
I
bet.
Found. Like, I remember being like a young comic and there would be like, you know, going on stage and like having a great set and like some elderly man, you know, some guy that's like in his 50s at my same level, by
yes,
the way.
Sure.
Like still doing that's an
sure.
unpaid show on a Wednesday.
Yeah.
Coming
a bringer.
Over.
Yeah. I know stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. They want to come over and like give you advice, you know, yeah. to kind of put themselves on a higher level so they
yeah.
can so they can feel great about themselves.
Also, I've never approached a guy, but I would love to, and I think that might be my new thing.
Yes, that's
oh
your
my
new
God, to give advice yeah. at every comedy show that I go to.
Unsolicited, just roll up.
Hey, you've yes. got something special.
Can I give you a couple, you know, just
I
some
a few
feedback
for you yeah. that I think you might like. Yeah.
It is
my,
wild.
My other new thing to do is I like to call. And I do believe, I don't feel like female comics ever get called genius. And I like to throw that around
oh,
in front of my
genius.
Male contemporaries.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
She's a genius.
I feel like that'll really rile them up.
Yeah. It's almost like she also writes.
Yeah. Yeah. What?
Insane.
Now, as a stylist person, I've noticed you have a really great aesthetic.
Oh, thank
you. I would consider
you.
This like a Brooklyn witch. You're kind of like yes. a Brooklyn witch.
Yes.
Do you identify with that? Like
yeah.
as your like fashion aesthetic, I'm saying.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
It's almost like we had done an episode a while back. It was kind of like neo-goth.
Yes.
Where it was like incorporating the witchy elements, but in a very kind of casual way,
sure.
like heading to the farmer's market.
Yeah.
Yes.
The intro.
I'm
to it. But we also had Gail Bennington on, and
she's a witch. Yeah,
Wiccan,
she's
right?
a Wiccan, and
yeah.
she uses her witchcraft in her mother process.
Oh,
so
cool.
She uses it to, you know, help her children learn about the natural world.
Oh, that's
and,
great.
And she's got a great witchy aesthetic too. Like
I
she came
that.
In, you know, it was like she was like, I have a lot of patchouli on.
Yeah,
we're like, we
love it.
That's
yeah.
so funny.
I mean, I have to say. I don't feel like a true witch based on the fact that, like, I don't know herbs. I'm
okay.
not a great cook.
Okay.
You know,
yeah.
like, these sort of, like, inherent to the natural world things. Like, I've been a city girl for so long.
Yes.
Like, I've been here for, it'll be 20 years in October, you know? But my angle of witchcraft is feminism, right?
Yeah, like, I like a good coven.
Yeah, I like a coven. I like, you know, joining in the forces of the power of other women and people with uteruses. I identify as queer. I've had relationships with other queer trans people. That feels like a part of like my witchiness.
Right.
Yes.
You know, like subcultures, things that don't feel like monoculture straight ahead, right?
Yes, yeah.
And that sort of stuff I definitely am trying to like have be a part of my daughter's life. Yes. You know, I was like showing her videos of like home births.
Yes.
And like she was so into it and she like wasn't freaked out by it. And she was like asking about like the fluids that were coming out of this woman's body and stuff. And I'm like, wow, how crazy. Like, I can't even imagine. I mean, I thought a baby came out of your butt when I was her age, right? Yeah. Like,
children love science. Yes, they love it.
They're curious.
It's also like a lot of the stuff that we go through, I feel like, is pretty witchy.
Yes.
Anyway, the time of the month.
Oh my gosh. Witchy. We're aligned with the moon.
We're aligned with Mother Moon. Yes. Okay.
And water and tides and
And even the monthly cycles of your own body, where it's like, you know, as women, we go through like a season of like, now I'm doing great. Now I'm in my luteal phase. Time to hit rock bottom. And now I'm back again.
Yes.
Totally. Yeah. To be in touch with your body and the imperfection of things and accepting kind of, I mean, I love the outdoors more than I ever have. Like, I think the longer I've lived here, and also my husband is like into the outdoors. Like, when I was a kid, I was very freaked out by like dirt and bugs and all that. And now I'm like, let me be disgusting for like days in the woods.
Yes.
Like, I really love it.
It's fun. Yeah. You know? It's freeing.
Yes. Especially living how we live here. It's like,
you get cut off from nature here. You really do.
Yeah. So, you know,
to be off the grid for a week would be great.
Yes.
Now, one thing I wanted to talk to you about, I mentioned this briefly, because I know your husband.
Yes.
And you, when you guys got married, he told me of something I love. I think this is such a great event. You, for your wedding rehearsal dinner, instead of like going out to a restaurant or whatever, you guys had, you ordered all different types of pizza from New York so your guests could have like a local New York City pizza experience.
Yes. And like, I don't know, $500 to $1,000 later, everybody's trying all different kinds of pizza. Which was all his idea, by the way. Yeah. And like, he ran all over Brooklyn, like getting boxes of pizza.
Oh my gosh. It's a great, I love it. I think it's such a great idea.
It was cute.
Now, what pies did you have? What?
Oh God.
I do remember he mentioned artichoke.
Yes. Artichoke. I think maybe we got one. There's one right downstairs from our apartment that we like eat at a lot called Tony's, just a straight ahead Tony's.
Yes.
Somebody was telling me it was in some show recently too. Like, I think it is kind of like an iconic one.
Yeah.
It's right on Nicabaca Avenue, which is where we maybe I shouldn't say that.
bleep it. No, I know that area. I know that area actually.
Where else did he get some from?
Roberta's?
Oh yes, probably Roberta's.
Classic. That was the pizza place like 10 years ago.
No, and it's still...
And Pizzagate, right? Wasn't it part of Pizzagate?
Was it part of it?
No, I think that was a pizza place in D.C.
Oh, in D.C. Yeah. Okay.
But it was... It probably got, you know, probably was involved somehow.
Yes. I don't trust them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was like those three primarily, but I honestly, I don't really remember that much about the pizza party other than the fact that it was fun and... It was at a bar. We had it at Star Bar on Star Street in Bushwick. So we just like brought all these pizzas to the bar and all this family was in from out of town. I had like Southern relatives in town. Patrick has a bunch of family from upstate. And, you know, everybody thinks that like where we live, it's just like you guys must be at gunpoint like 24/7.
Oh, yes, of course.
Which I'm like, somehow we've survived here for like 20 years, guys. Yeah. Like, I don't know if you.
Yeah.
I grew up in Houston in the suburbs and then also lived in Houston. Suburbs are the darkest underbelly of America.
Yes, of
course. Some of the most fucked up shit I've ever seen or heard of is in the suburbs. And then also, I find New York to be one of the safest cities I've ever lived in.
I feel much safer.
There's a bodega on every corner that's
there's
open.
There's people everywhere. There's people lights everywhere.
Yeah. I always encourage people to visit New York. I'm like, it's absolutely safe. Even my hometown, I'm from Indianapolis, and it's like, there's a bad side of town that I would never, I would never walk through, but there's not a part of New York that I wouldn't walk through.
Right.
Well, so, but of course, the next morning, like in the wee hours of the morning, like the bodega, like across from where Star Bar is, like the next corner, somebody was like stabbed after they like, tried to rob the bodega.
That's hilarious.
And it was like everybody saw it on the news the next morning. They're like, see?
Right?
See where they live?
God, isn't that annoying when something... Yes. Then I try to be like, well, it's probably domestic.
Well, and yes. I was like, well, he tried to rob it. Yeah. So.
Yeah, what are you going to do? That's the Brooklyn, how do you do?
Yeah, exactly. I was like, it's fine. We're getting married in downtown Brooklyn. Like, don't worry about
it. It's not going to happen.
Yes. No, that's so wonderful. And I also, as everyone knows, am planning my own wedding. Well, not really.
Congrats.
Yet. Thank you. I'm planning, but right now I'm like looking at options right now. I'm looking at options that don't cost $50,000.
Yes.
Yeah, and that's hard for that.
Yeah, like I love the idea of doing something simple at a bar that has like a unique touch.
Yes.
And is also like, you know, this is great for people out of town.
Yeah. No,
it's amazing.
I mean, our wedding was really fun.
Was it your invitation or you guys did drag?
Yes. I was in androgynous, like David Bowie look, and Patrick was doing Real Housewives of New Jersey.
Yeah.
And my inspiration was, this is where like the stylist really came out. I was very proud of this photo shoot.
It looked really good.
It looked really good.
Oh my gosh.
I got a great photographer who was like very into the idea, a friend of mine, and 1980s Yves Saint Laurent perfume ads were my inspiration.
Yes.
Like jewel tone, like deep, dark colors.
I love it.
Patrick had to be like desperately coached. He really thought he could just like be silly and get into it. And I was like, no, this is going to be serious.
You got to give a look.
Yes.
And you got to like pose accordingly. So yeah, we had posters of the photo shoot like all over this barbecue restaurant that we got married at. But even still, like, I'm not somebody, like, the details really overwhelm me. So the fact that I could just be like, okay, you have a wedding package? Great. I'll see you on the day of my wedding.
Yeah,
like, and that was
too.
Like seen.
Yeah.
And but it was still like $20,000
right.
at the end of the day.
Course,
you know,
the base rate, it seems.
But
like.
People said they had a great time. They said it was like a very fun wedding. We hired an MC because, of course, comedy.
Yeah.
And they were like, we both hate like dead air at weddings. Mm-hmm.
You got to keep it moving.
So it's like we wrote a script. Like everybody knew where they were supposed to go, when they would be eating, when they would be drinking. So like our control freak stuff kind of came out in that element.
Yeah. Yeah.
We had a drag queen perform.
Oh, I love that. What a fun touch.
It was really like, I think it was a blast, but I barely remember it. And you know, I'm still in credit card debt. So
that's the bottom line of every wedding is like, at the end of the day, I think I had fun.
Yeah.
I don't know, actually.
Yeah. I'm like, if I did it again, I probably would just go to the courthouse.
Yeah.
But Patrick does not agree with that.
Yes. That's always, it seems, the pair of people getting together. And that's important because you need to compliment.
That's very true.
Now, it's time to start wrapping up. But tell us, where can people find your doula business? What are the services you're offering? Where are you teaching yoga?
Yes.
Where, you know, tell us about your stuff that you're doing.
All the things. Very boringly, if that's a word, at Ross Aaron Martineau, my full God-given name, is really where you can find everything. I'm currently having my website built by a friend of mine for
I love it.
Yoga and doula work. So right now it's really just through my Instagram. I post all my yoga classes there.
Okay.
You can also get my information for doula stuff. I am like in a doula collective called Baby Caravan.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, that you can hire any kind of doula service through them. They're a really amazing collective. That's how I found my birth doula. And now it's like a full circle moment where they've asked me to come on as a postpartum doula as part of their collective. So Ross Aaron Martineau, that's it.
Amazing.
At Instagram, you can kind of, it's like all my mom stuff. And then also I like occasionally play like on Friday evening at 5:30, I play a loud music yoga class that's usually themed.
That sounds fun.
At Everyone Yoga in Ridgewood, if you're there. Yeah. It's like, if you don't live there, you're kind of not going to come.
Yeah.
But if anybody lives there, you should check it out. Last Friday, I did like an all Radiohead themed one. I play the music really loud and
fun.
I had visuals on the wall and it's like a really big, nice studio. And
that's
they're talking about getting me like a Britney Spears mic for that class.
Ooh.
So I'm feeling pretty special.
Yes. Yes. Elevate.
Yes.
Yeah. I love it. Well, thank you so much for joining us. You've been an amazing guest.
Thank you. Thank you, Ross. It was so much fun.
Yeah. And everyone, please follow Ross. Follow Ross Aaron Martineau. And please like and subscribe for Lady Journey and leave us a review if you want to get a Lady Journey kit. I am sending them out. Just take a screenshot of the review, email it to us at ladyjourneypodcast@gmail.com, and you will be sent a beautiful kit. The contents,
I have no idea. I don't know what Katie's sending
Sarah
out to people.
Sarah doesn't even know.
Wow.
And thank you for listening.
Yeah, thank you.